first, a very cordial welcome to everyone. And those of you who are new for the first time with our particular phase of this message, please know that about 30% of the audience is also new, so don't feel out of place. Everybody today starts off on a new principle. And I think within a very short time we'll find that none of us are lagging behind, and perhaps none of us are so far ahead of any others either. So let's all start off with the idea that we're in the right place. Your silence says a lot. And be assured that whatever you brought with you will come back to you in a strange and wonderful way. We're going to continue this meditation right now. And now let's call it a soul meditation. In order to open yourself to the fullness of your own being, it would be suggested at this time that you make a definite attempt to release your human sense of self. Not halfway. But in this meditation, to let go of where you are, to let go of human identity, to let go of your personal plans, your personal idea of what you came here to get or to give. If you can learn at this moment to release the human concept of self, you will find a depth of your own being that will be very important to you for the next 5 days. You should be resting in the everywhere, rather than in the sense of being in a body in a room. And in this everywhere, there is no need for you to plan. There is no need for you to even take thought. It is not a surrender to a person or a situation. It is a surrender of your mind to your soul. And you're not there until the realization of it enters your consciousness and tells you that you have arrived in another place, different than the thinking mind. If you came with this capacity working, functioning in your daily life, you're close to it right now. You have no wife here. You have no husband here. You have no friend here. You have only I. And that I of you is the only self present in this class. That I of you is not confined to these walls. Please accept your everywhere I in this meditation. Break out of the confinement of mental margins. Feel yourself beyond this hemisphere, in worlds unknown to man. Out of space, out of time, out of every human concept, release yourself. during the course of your studies in truth, you have from time to time been asked to accept ideas that have seemed strange. Perhaps you accepted many of them intellectually. Perhaps some you found very difficult to accept. And also, it is possible that those ideas you did accept never went beyond that stage of becoming living consciousness. For instance, you may have read and heard and agreed that this world is not the kingdom of God. But you can go right on believing that even though it's not the kingdom of God, it's the creation of God. And if you've been doing that, this is the time to look at it and face it. What is not the kingdom of God is not the creation of God. And if you're stuck with a world that God did not create, it's good to know it right this minute. And if you think that God created the human form, you're stuck with that idea. And it's good to know right this minute that God denies it. And you've been asked to accept ideas of this nature, that God did not create the world that we see, or the form that we think we live in. And many other ideas equally strange and almost totally foreign to the world outside in which we think we live. And while you wrestle with these and other ideas that you would like to accept and discover that you can't quite accept them and live with them, it becomes necessary to find out why, when the heart is willing, when the mind is willing, when the body is willing, when all that you seem to be is willing to accept that I do want to enter and live in the living kingdom of God now, why don't you do it? And so today, we will have some who will call themselves sheep, and some who will try to be sheep but will not quite cross that line. And they may be called goats. The Master was very clear about that, that he would divide the sheep from the goats. And I think we're going to find that if we are those stubborn ones who feel that we can hear with our ears and then not follow through with our lives, we will be called the goats, not necessarily by a person, but spirit will not notice us. Spiritual law will not function in us. And it will be because we have ignored the ultimate truth that you cannot be both mortal and immortal. You cannot be both human and divine. You cannot live in a physical world and a spiritual universe. Now, to those of you who have made the choice and have not fully succeeded, you are still considered among the 7,000 who have not bowed down to Baal. As long as your purpose is to fulfill the Christ truth of God, the Word of God within you, whether you seem to fail or succeed, you must succeed. There is no way to stop. The Spirit reads the inner heart. And so those who are now determined, dedicated, and committed fully to live consciously in the kingdom of God, I must say that is the purpose of this class. We have no secondary purposes, no limited purposes. We have one specific purpose: to attain the awareness of the kingdom of God on earth before we move into another experience. To consciously live in that kingdom. And in these classes, starting tonight, we are surrendering ourself, our human sense of self. We are surrendering the person, the personality, the mind, the body, the human ambition, every human desire, and putting them on the altar for one purpose alone. We're saying, Father, I am here to be guided by you. We invite everyone to join in that commitment. Those of you who do, who came with that in your consciousness, it is you who will make this the class of all classes. It is your consciousness that is going to manifest during these classes. There was a man on this earth, no longer visible, a very remarkable man. And one of the most remarkable statements ever made by this remarkable man has not been heard by most people in the world. I'd like to read it to you. He said, the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion and a very stubborn illusion. Perhaps you heard this remark by this remarkable man. Perhaps not. It's very certain that the world has chosen not to hear and not to follow. And yet, the world owes this man a debt which can never be repaid. He has been admired internationally. He has been respected as one of the great geniuses of all time. His scientific ideas have changed the course of civilization in large measure. The space age and our work in outer space today is partly due to this man's brilliance. Our atomic age, great theories in science, marvelous applications of those theories by industry. A man of worldwide, unblemished stature, whose every word the world hangs upon and says, give us more. That statement was not made by a metaphysician or what the world calls a mystic. It was made by Albert Einstein. Now, you would think that if a man's brilliance has been proven to the point that his genius has established itself in our civilization, you would think that every word from his lips would be something the world would say, we've got to do that. We can't let it go by. It must be important. But there isn't a single continent on this earth that says, the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion. There isn't a leader in the world aware of it or doing anything about it. Science doesn't. Religion doesn't. Education doesn't. Industry doesn't. Government doesn't. What's left? The human race doesn't. And you know, that statement by Einstein may make everything else that he said obsolete. It may contain the clue to your eternal life. It may contain the key that opens the door to heaven on earth. It may contain everything that you have been seeking and not finding. And then you might say, well, what did he really mean by that? So let's look at his words and see what he meant. If there is no distinction between past, present, and future, isn't he telling us that time is not passing by? Isn't he telling that time actually has no real existence as we know it? That tomorrow isn't going to become a today, and today isn't going to become a yesterday? There is no distinction between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, if we accept that this genius knew what he was talking about, we have a statement that there is no time. It simply isn't passing. And that time is an illusion of the senses. And you may say, well, if that's so, why don't other people talk about it? And I'm going to refer you right now to other people who did talk about it. I'm going to refer you to Meister Eckhart, who in the 13th or 14th century in Germany made the identical statement that Einstein made, that there's no past or present or future. It's all illusion. And then I'm going to refer you to page 191 of your Infinite Way book. I know it by heart. If it happens in time and space, put no value in appearance. And that's the same statement as Mr. Einstein. And he adds one thing, but look at it again through your soul. That's the last wisdom in the Infinite Way Wisdoms, chapter 10, page 191 in the Infinite Way book by Joel. If it happens in time and space, place no value in the appearance, but look at it again through your soul. Now, apparently, Einstein and Eckhart and Joel all saw the illusion of time. They all saw that time is not passing. When you stop to think about what they were saying and ask yourself, well, did Jesus say this too? What other great spiritual leaders showed this, demonstrated this, taught this? You're going to find that once you are aware of this incredible idea that time simply is not passing, that you're going to find all kinds of evidence piling up, not only from your own intelligence, but your Bible will spring to life with passages you never dreamed about because you were so busy in the consciousness of time that you simply didn't see it. Now, suppose an automobile runs over a child. You've got to face the fact that the death of that child by an automobile happened in time. Suppose a refugee boat coming from Vietnam is turned away on some foreign shore and the refugees are killed, as they have been. You've got to see this takes place in time. Suppose there's a pestilence. It takes place in time. A war. Suppose, as happened recently, the Florida coast is whipped with hurricanes. It takes place in time. Now you've got to see that God didn't stop that hurricane. God didn't stop the automobile accident. God didn't prevent the refugees from dying in their getaway boats. God didn't prevent the war or the death of the individuals in the war. And you must connect that up to the fact that God does not enter the activities in time. Every solution to every human problem that our world faces today is sought in time, and that is why the solution does not come. We are going to become very aware that there is a universe outside time, and that the universe inside time is not the creation of God, and that the universe outside time is. You're going to become very aware that there is a self of you outside time, and that the self of you in time is not supported by the divine protection of God, because the activity of man in time is not God-governed. And eventually you're going to have to face this not as an opinion, because it's going to be scripturally authorized and authenticated. You're going to have to see that our world does not contain time, but time contains our world. Our world is in time, and my kingdom is not of this world in time. And therefore, the kingdom is placed outside of time. That's why we haven't discovered it. And your true self, yourself that does not die, is equally placed outside time, and that's why we have not discovered it. And the law of perfection is outside time, and that's why you don't see a perfect mortal being. Now, as we begin to suspect that we have walked by ignoring the unreality of time, and begin to listen to men who have perceived what ordinary mortals have not perceived, we begin to develop a different awareness of what time is and what it is not. And I think you will eventually agree with me that there is a time sense which we mistake for time. It isn't time that we have with us, we have time sense. We have a time sense that looks at a spiritual universe and a spiritual man, and unable to receive sensations of infinity and eternality, this time sense staggers infinity and eternity into a slow, visible sequence of events. At this point, I'd like to ask you to accept a very important idea. Tomorrow, today, yesterday are not created by God. They are created by your time sense. And it's a very subtle thing, this time sense. Suppose, for example, you go to the bank on a Friday, this particular Friday, and you open an account for, let's say, $1,000. Now, suppose this particular Friday, you also stock up your refrigerator with food, and also suppose that you buy a boat or a house. All of this happens today, Friday. Now, next Friday, you return to the bank to withdraw your $1,000. Naturally, you expect to find it there. But the bank teller looks at you and he says, I'm sorry. We have no record of your deposit. So you show him your deposit slip. You say, of course I made a deposit. What are you talking about? Here's my slip. Here's my receipt. The teller looks at you and he says, I'm sorry. I don't know what you've got there, but it must be a forgery. You did not make a deposit in this bank. So you threaten to sue, of course. And the bank says, well, go right ahead, sue us. Now you are under the impression that this Friday past, meaning today, you deposited $1,000. And next Friday, when you go to the bank to pick it up, you expect it to be there. $1,000. You do not expect Friday to be there. The Friday you deposited the money is long gone. You expect that Friday to vanish, to become a nothing in a million yesterdays. And tomorrow, if you should go to your refrigerator to take your groceries out, you won't expect today, this Friday, to be there too. You'll expect only the things that were tangible that you placed into the refrigerator. But this Friday will be gone. And if you go to pick up your house 3 months later, when your escrow comes through, you'll expect your house to be there, but you won't expect this Friday to be there. This Friday will be gone. It will be dead. This Friday, we believe, will die tonight. At midnight. Well, Einstein doesn't agree with you. Einstein says you're wrong. This Friday can never pass. And if you want to accept that from Einstein, and also what Joel says, that if it happens in time and space, take another look with your soul, then you must see that Einstein and Joel are saying there is no Friday. That is your time sense establishing a convenient concept. What is there? There's no hour, no minute, no day, no year, no century. There's only one truth. And that truth about time is that time is not. All there is today. When tomorrow comes, it's not tomorrow becoming today. And today isn't going to become yesterday. This today that we call today is not today. This today is a pinpoint of consciousness that we call today in our time sense. Today is a very minor, insignificant, almost sub-microscopic today in the larger today that we do not see because of our time sense. There is a real, permanent today, another today, a today that always remains today, an eternal today. And that's how it is with God. That's how it is with the child of God. In that eternal today, your time sense forms a concept, and from this pinpoint of consciousness we call my human selfhood, we form a concept called today. But in the infinite eternal universe of the Father, we form from our pinpoint of consciousness another concept called this world.
We form another consciousness, another concept called body, humanhood. Things, objects, always we look at the one eternal life, and our time sense creates another life called me. We look at the kingdom through our time sense, and we conceive another universe called this world. Wherever there's one, because of our fractional time sense, we form the idea of a second, or many, where only one exists. And then we live in our concept. We live in this me, and we keep this me in the same passing time that we think is here. And because we live inside the concept of passing time, fully expecting time to pass, it does. And we pass right along with it. Now, where is yesterday? Where did it go? It just vanished. It's as if you never had it. Where is it? You can't touch it. You can't reclaim it. There's nothing you can do with it. It's gone. And yet you're convinced you had it. But did you? And tomorrow and today will go the same way. Every day vanishes. And of course, a little something of each of us vanishes with every day. Until finally, all of the lifespan that we have claimed also vanishes, and we with it. That lifespan, that vanishing lifespan, is only our passing time sense about our permanent life, which we cannot, through our time sense, perceive. And so, I think, we're beginning to zero in a little differently now on our spiritual work than merely a recitation of basic principles in a book. We're beginning to feel the hypnotism of the time sense, which we have erroneously called time. We're beginning to understand why mystics have warned us to find our real life outside time. We're beginning to see that time sense has divided that which cannot be divided into life outside time, which is permanent, and life inside time, which we think is temporary. One exists, one seems to exist. Our function is to get to the bottom of what appears to be passing time, and then come to the realization that all passing time is really dying time. And that because we live in dying time, we naturally die. Everything in dying time dies. But God never created dying time. Passing time is just a pleasant word for dying time. We color everything in our human experience with the invisible dying nature of our time sense. It's as if you looked through rose-colored glasses and everything was pink, because you live in a dying sense of time, just the way you thought Friday would disappear but the bank deposit would be there. Friday would disappear but the carrots in the refrigerator would be there. Friday would disappear but the whole house would be there. The tangible will always remain, but time will always go. You expect it that way. You expect time to pass, to die. And then while you live in that dying time, that's exactly what you do too. Now this is hypnotism. The Bible calls it the sleep. It's a sort of state of unconsciousness, or not full consciousness, or semi-consciousness, We simply aren't fully conscious. If we were, there would be no passing time. God doesn't live in passing time. Nothing passes in God. Nothing dies in God. Nothing dies or passes in spirit. You could see one individual aware of this gladly submitting to crucifixion, can't you? In passing time? While the reality remains outside, alive, because it is not in time. Wherever time does not pass, life is. Do you see how fine the hairline is at that point? And how you've got to truly be still in the mind and rest in the soul to let the soul reveal this to you? It wasn't only Eckhart or Einstein or Joel. Many others have seen this. But first, remember Joel's statement very carefully. If it takes place in time or space, do not accept it as it appears. But search deeper in the realm of the soul. Now that soul is in addition to Einstein's statement. You're learning there that the soul is the only way you can perceive the illusion of the hypnosis. So don't try to do it with your mind. It's the absence of the mind, the Sabbath of the mind, the taking no thought of the mind, which releases you from the false passage of time in the mind. This entire visible creation is an imperfect copy of the invisible. The imperfect copy is in time, created by our senses. The perfect is outside time, outside space. That's Plato. You see, the great minds that have uncovered the truth, man fell asleep in time. End of sentence. That's Jacob Bohme. Man fell asleep in time. The greater part of mankind may be said to be asleep. The learned and the ignorant, the rich and the poor, are all in the same state of slumber, passing away a short life in a different kind of dream. That's William Law, who was a student of Bohme. God is withdrawn from both ends of time, for the life is not time, but eternity. And in eternity, there is no past, no future, only the present. That's interesting, because that statement was made by a teacher of Paul, Philo, before Paul really learned that spirit was his identity. He learned from Philo that time was an illusion. Then there's an old Sufi legend, and they were mystics, as you know, that if the senses were eliminated, the world would appear as a unity. And that's very interesting. The moment you pull time out of the world, instead of divisions, the moment you see past these divisions with your soul, you see the unity of reality, the oneness, not as the world is seen to us by human eyes, but as the spiritual universe is seen directly by the soul. Always emphasizing that unless you rise above the illusion of time, you're going to drift with it. I think a few more of these quotations might help. Swedenborg and Kierkegaard were both mystical in their approach to life, and they divided men according to their understanding of time. And they wrote about the necessity of overcoming the illusion of time in order to understand our lives aright. The world couldn't quite understand. But they were trying to make it clear that in order to know yourself, you have to go beyond the illusion of time. Because the you in time is not yourself. That's a challenging, revolutionary idea to receive from these mystics. And as you know, very few people have listened to them. William James said, "Our normal waking consciousness is but one special type of consciousness, while all around us, parted by the flimsiest of screens, there are potential forms of consciousness entirely different." I bring this out to you now, that you may come to the conclusion that if you continue in time sense, you are wasting your time. To abide in truth, you must come to the conclusion that not only is time not passing, but it is impossible for events to pass in time. That the world illusion in time is precisely the reason the Master had to tell us that his kingdom was not of this world. You can never find yourself in time. You can continue succeeding in your ventures, winning the plaudits of the crowd, the fame, the security, if that's sufficient for you. Then nothing can stop you. You can do it, and then you can move right with time out of existence. We did speak, you remember, of the 7,000 who would not bow down to Baal. Then there are those who say, if divine man is not in time, if God is not in time, if God does not enter time to protect mankind, then I cannot continue living in time. And those are the 7,000. I must live where my Father lives. And my way to get out of time now is to realize that I am not in it. The false sense of me is in it, but my identity, myself, my reality, my immortal being, the only self I am, is not in time now or ever. I would like to ask you now to imagine time as a vast ocean.